You can be seated. And I'm going to introduce our special guest today. You're ready. But I just want to say, short of giving you a bio, I want to bring your attention to the brochure that's in your bulletin, which has that information. And I encourage you to take that and particularly hang on to the prayer requests that are in it. We'll have that each week as we have guests here this month. But let that be part of your life. So it's an old story, but it's a new world. And so today I'd like to introduce Krista to share with us.
I'm not going to run out of the room this time, I promise. Isn't that cool? I love that, you know, in the 17 years or so that we've been working with InterVarsity, one of the things just really clear, especially, and you know this living in the Northwest, is the importance of building trust with people on their journey to faith. That before anyone, and I don't know where everyone in the room is at in terms of your curiosity, openness, or relationship with Jesus, but that before any curiosity and openness about Jesus often happens, or even before that journey can really move forward, there needs to be trust with a Christian, right? And one of the things that happens at Peace Feast is that this place of trust begins to grow between Christians and Muslims, and then this curiosity begins to grow about who is this Jesus, right? Even we were just hosting a friend who's Muslim and was headed to visit family in Palestine, and she was really worried about this trip. And I was like, can we just pray for you? She was like, oh, yes, I would love for you to pray for me. You know, I love Jesus. And she goes on to tell me what she thinks of Jesus. I was like, well, we think about Jesus a little bit differently, but still there's this common ground, right? And this place of, like, love and being able to pray and seek out spirituality together. It's really, really good to be with you this morning, even as we were worshiping. This was the first church, well, how do I phrase this? This was the first church I learned how to fast. When I was in high school across the street, I came and hang out with the youth group every once in a while and did like a 20-hour famine or a 30-hour famine, whatever that thing was. And I was like, who are these crazy people who fast? Okay, it's fun. There are a lot of fun kids around. And I was a kid. And then when I came back to work at the University of Oregon with InterVarsity after several years away, this was where I hung out for a couple years. And so being here has always felt a little bit like coming home. This church has partnered with us in so many ways. You are some of the most faithful prayer people that I know. And often we have shared the space next door as a space of training for students and for staff. And so this church has always been for me a model of hospitality in the kingdom. It's such a gift. Krista talked about our work with InterVarsity and our desire to see students transformed by the love of Jesus. But just to be really honest, it's been a really, really hard season. It's been really hard for about 5 to 7 years. The pandemic kind of took things to another level, but it's been pretty brutal. Probably the hardest season of leadership and ministry that I've experienced. And we've lost many of our students, our student leaders, and staff. We're in increasingly challenging campus environments. And one reaction that I found myself in is that this is an overwhelming amount of work, and I don't know if I can do this anymore, just to be honest. It's been hard. It's challenged all the parts of me, all my internalized ideas of success. What does it look like to do a good job? And as I've wrestled with that, as we have wrestled with that, with our kids home while we're trying to do work in different parts of our job, as we try and travel to campuses or figure out how to connect with students who are just exhausted from all the change and emotional stress the last 3 years, there has been one thing that God has been teaching me. Well, more than one. But if I was to sum it up, it's this, that the best that we can do is faithful obedience. Is faithful obedience. Faithful obedience to the voice of Jesus. And over again, even last night, I was up for some reason at 3 a.m. I'm not that old, am I? I think I am. I was just praying, God, what should I do? What should we do? I've got this situation at OSU. I've got this situation at the University of Oregon. I've got this situation at Willamette University. And, oh, can we get on Lane Community College this year? And what about OSU Cascades and Bend? And can we start a Nurses Christian Fellowship at Central Oregon Community College? And my mind is just spinning with all these things. I need to write a prayer update. And, oh, yeah, we're speaking at church tomorrow. God, what should we do? And over again, God has said, wait and pray. Wait and pray. Find people who are praying and pray with them while you wait, because you won't be able to wait otherwise. Can you recall a time when you received a gift that you had to wait on God for? You know, it was a relationship, the discovering of your calling. Maybe it was for healing for yourself or someone dear to you, a friendship, an answer to a question that you had carried. Maybe you're waiting for a new chapter in your life. What was it like to wait? Maybe some of you are waiting right now and have been waiting a long time. What was it like to wait for that gift? Waiting is really hard. It goes against all the places in our humanity where we long and fight for power and for control and for certainty. Waiting feels to me like nothing when everything in us and around us says you have to do something to be significant. Right? Our world says, what do you have to show for your significance? Right? What do you amount to? And waiting looks and feels like nothing. As I was praying for this morning a couple of weeks back, I was just drawn to Acts 1. I was drawn to this Acts 1 community and the ways that they are told to wait by Jesus. Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom? Are you going to make things right? Right? Are we going to once again have power and influence? Are we going to be safe from oppression? Jesus, you don't get to know when that time comes. But wait. And by the way, I'm leaving. Wait for this promised gift of the Holy Spirit. Just wait. Before they are to go to all the world, to Eugene and beyond, which I love as the theme for this month, Jesus says, wait. Wait. Do nothing but gather and pray. There's this calling to be witnesses to the ends of the earth that we carry as followers of Jesus at the core of who we are. We are a sent people, but it is impossible without the gift. And to get the gift, they can only do one thing, and that is wait. Nothing they do is going to speed up the process. Not how much they pray, not how much they fast, not how much they work, not how much they serve, not how righteous they are. They just have to wait. It is on God's timing, and they are helpless to do anything except wait and pray. How many of us like to feel helpless? Or to feel intensely vulnerable? I think that waiting goes against all the things in our culture. Amazon, 2-day shipping, and I love it. Right? 24 hours if you really need it. Not fast enough, just go to Walmart. Getting home late from work and don't want to wait for food to cook, Grubhub, DoorDash. That book looks good, download it instantaneously. Movie, pull it up on your phone in 5 seconds. I'm bored, I'm going to distract myself on YouTube. Yes, I work with a lot of college students. And those things are not all bad. I like those things, right? DoorDash and Grubhub has been a lifesaver for me through the pandemic particularly. But we are used to the immediate and have created a world where we can get what we want very, very quickly. 2-day shipping inhabits our faith too. And I don't know about you, but I've been noticing in myself that when discomfort and when anxiety and the vulnerability of waiting surfaces, there are a lot of things that I reach for other than Jesus. Right? What do you reach for? To wait is to enter into the truth of our weakness and the fullness of our humanity, that we are not gods. We feel like we should be doing something. Our worth becomes about our productivity, and waiting feels like nothing. But if, in fact, waiting is faithful obedience to God, it is the only thing that matters. The only thing that matters. And I think that as a church sometimes, not this church, but the Big C church, right, we are characterized by our activity, which is good. I love the things that are happening this month. I love that you're going to tour the mission and all the different pieces. I think it's beautiful. God invites us to be actively involved in the world. But we're not always characterized by our waiting. And over these last couple of years, I feel like God has been refocusing my attention, saying, Joel, the most powerful thing you can do is learn to wait and to pray and to move on my timing, in my pace, with my spirit. Because God wants a relationship with us that is based on our belovedness and not on our productivity. And waiting in prayer has invited me, and I think it invites us, into intimate relationship with God. I've had a lot of time and space over the last couple of years to reflect on kind of the where my students and staff, different folks I've invested in have gone. And I'm very aware that there are a lot of folks who are not following Jesus anymore. And I'm not responsible for all those things and processes. There's a lot of ways that people choose their own path through life. But I am deeply convinced that nothing we do matters if our own relationship with God is not growing richer and deeper. And I think in this season of leadership for me, after 17, I mean, I've been with college students since 2000 as a student myself doing ministry, that nothing matters if I am not growing more intimate in my relationship with God and leading out of that place. Because we cannot pass on what we do not have. As I was thinking about this church and the space, I wonder if there are ways that during this season for this church, right, as Steve has retired, God bless him in his retirement, Steve and Beth, that God might want to shift or even just deepen the longing of this community for God himself. This community that I think loves God deeply. But I know that God is always inviting us deeper and deeper into intimacy with him. I wonder if there are ways that God might be, you are kind of an Acts 1 community right now, waiting and wondering, what is this new season going to look like for us? And how do we move through this together? And before we can be sent to the ends of the earth, we're invited to wait and to pray together. And so my hope and prayer for you this morning is that this would be a season where you as a community would come together in new ways to wait and pray and to discover deeper intimacy with God together. As I've waited and prayed, I have been surprised by God, that God has shown up in ways I never would have expected. There's a picture up here, I think. Oh, there we are. This is the entire staff team in the Northwest InterVarsity right now. There's about 18 or 19 of us. There used to be 60. And I'm 40 now, and I am old in this picture. And most of them are under the age of 25. And they are beautiful people. And in the top, in the back row, second from the left, is my new friend Bailey. He's wearing an Oregon State sweatshirt. Go Beavers. We've been longing to plant at Portland State University for a long time, to replant it. We've had InterVarsity there in the past, and we've had this small group of students, but we've been praying, God, like, what is the way forward? How do we move forward? And in my timing, I would have been like, well, we find a staff or a student who graduates from Portland State and then comes on staff, and we have someone go through our intern program, and then we raise them up and send them to Portland. But instead, God's like, well, I've got this guy, Bailey. And Bailey was at Oregon State University, where he actually was a student intern with Campus Ambassadors, another campus ministry. Great group of folks. And Bailey fell in love with Courtney. And love changes a lot of things. And so Bailey is moving to finish his degree in Portland at Portland State. He's getting married here in about 2 weeks. But Campus Ambassadors is not at Portland State and is interested in going there right now. And he started looking, and he's like, oh, InterVarsity, they sound cool. And so we got an email from Bailey saying, hey, I'm going to Portland State University. Can I come on staff with InterVarsity? And I'm like, excuse me? Like, we have never hired a student intern before in the Northwest. This is just a new thing in InterVarsity in the last 3 years, to be able to hire students as interns. And I was, like, super skeptical, right? But we interviewed him. And it was, God has placed an incredible vision in Bailey's heart to reach every corner of Portland State's campus. Right? And so Bailey, this was last week at our regional staff conference, we have hired Bailey, and this was his first InterVarsity event. And he is currently fundraising a budget of like $30,000 as a student, and it's going to take 12 credits and plant a campus ministry. Right? As we wait and pray, God does things in ways that I would never expect. Amen? It's not the story I would have chosen to write, but it's a really fun story. Right? And I'm still waiting. Now, at OSU, I don't have staff, and I'm like, Lord, it would have been nice if Bailey stayed there and wanted to come work for me. Right? But I'm still waiting. I'm waiting at the University of Oregon, where all my staff just left this last summer. I'm waiting at OSU Cascades, where I tried to hire someone, it kind of blew up in our face in Bend. And then I got this email last week from this woman, Hannah, saying, I would love to volunteer at OSU Cascades. I'm like, let's see, Lord. But all of these places feel so much out of my control. I cannot manifest what needs to happen with InterVarsity in Oregon these days. But I go on campus and my heart sees the students and the faculty, and I know they desperately need Jesus. But God's like, will you wait and will you pray so that I will get the glory? And so I'm just really grateful for this church and for the ways that you do pray. I love it. This is one of the most faithful praying churches that I know. And so I know in some ways I'm preaching to the choir this morning. But even as you move through this missions month, as you pray for folks, and also as you hold your own transition and the things God is doing in your midst, I wonder, what might it look like for you to surrender your desire for certainty and control so that you can receive deeper intimacy with God and others in this community today? Are there ways that God is inviting you to do that? And I know it can be even harder to surrender when it is about places or people that we deeply love. I would love just to pray a blessing over you. So, Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for Valley Covenant, for this community, for this family who deeply love you, Jesus, who love this community, who are incredibly hospitable, more hospitable than many, many folks that I know in this community. Thank you for their love for you and their love for this community and for their love for the world. Lord, you have planted your spirit in this place. And so, Lord, I just pray for like a double portion of your spirit and your blessing in the season that they are in. I pray, Lord God, that you would come, and that as they wait, that you would come with your spirit and draw them deeper into intimacy, that walking with you is like Willie Jennings says, it's the revolution of the intimate. It's the intimate revolution. And so, Jesus, I pray for greater intimacy with you, Jesus, for this community, in their homes, in their workplaces, in the community, and in this space. And as they wait, Jesus, would you meet them in that place? May we be a people of prayer who wait on you and who learn how to live more and more every day into faithful obedience. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for letting us be here with you this morning.
So Joel, stick around. And I'm going to invite Krista and the kids. If you leave, don't leave for very long.
Okay. Come here, Jack.
But I'm really ask Krista and Joel, Jack, Joanna, join us. And I've asked Trudy, as our missions committee chair, to do that for them, just to pray for them.
God, thank you so much for this family, for the way that you have used them over these past years, the way that we've had the joy and privilege of partnering with them in prayer and giving and encouragement. I thank you for them and for the ways that you are using them now. Thank you for Krista's work with the Muslim outreach. And we do ask that your strength and wisdom and discernment be with her and the team as they continue to plan toward Urbana. Thank you that the emphasis will be there, and I pray that out of that will come at least 50 plus peace feasts across our continent during this next school year, and that relationships would be built and that many Muslim students would come to know you as a result. Thank you for that ministry. And God, thanks for Joel's ministry with students here in Oregon and with staff. And God, as we lift up the hard time that this has been, we pray for encouragement for him. Continue to lift him up and help him to walk faithfully with you and trust your timing. But also we're asking you for more volunteers, for more staff. 18 instead of 60 in the Northwest is not a good number, and we wait on you to provide. Thank you for those on whose heart you are laying this ministry, and we ask that every university here in our state would be, and community college would be, a place where there is ministry going on through InterVarsity. So thank you. God, continue to bless their family, and as they work together in the house and as the family interacts, we pray that it's a place of peace and joy and patience and your grace every moment. Thank you for Josiah and Joanna and Jack. Pray that they would grow up to love you and serve you as well. And even where they are right now, that they would love the kids that they're in school with or in their neighborhood, and bless them. Thank you that we get to be their partners. And God, thank you so much for this word on waiting and praying. Teach us. Teach us to be faithfully obedient to you and to wait for your timing, to prayerfully anticipate that you do love us and that you are working, that you will work for the Martin family, that you will work for our church as we continue to walk with you in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.